Welcome to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. This is your Friday Weekend Review Edition. It's just me again, but I promise it's going to be a great one. I have three stories to go over today. Hopefully you find it interesting. I'll be talking about the Texas Heartbeat Bill. A lot of heated debate has both sides supplying ammo to support their arguments, so I'll be giving you my take on that. A Marine officer this week, Stuart Scheller, calls for accountability from the Afghanistan debacle. It's result of him being in hot water. Is it justified? And if you want to talk sports, we'll be going over Cam Newton being released by the Patriots. Do they have that much faith in their first round pick, or did Cam Newton put up a poor performance in the preseason? All this at Taboo Topic, a place where we dare to question the narrative and think out loud. Free speech triumphs your safe space. And before we go on break, I do want to remind everyone you can read future newsletters just by typing in URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. You can also follow me on Instagram by typing in kenjin_express. Kenjin_express. And then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook by typing in Taboo Topic. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. Stay tuned, everyone. It's going to be a great one. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. And before I go any further, I want to ask everyone, how is your week this week? It's the end of the week, so I gotta know. Let me know through the social media platforms I mentioned earlier. I hope your week was good. I've been readjusting life here in Florida. Still looking for a job and looking for a house to live. Pray for me. Pray that all goes through. That said, the conversation about abortion regained steam this week. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Texas's heartbeat bill, which scientifically speaking, 6 weeks is when you can detect a heartbeat from the unborn child. In other words, if there's a heartbeat, the procedure is no longer an option. That's to give you context of the significance of the abortion law. Additionally, in the law, one can be sued for anyone assisting the individual seeking the abortion, whether they know it or not. For example, an Uber driver could be sued. The individual could exercise their right to keep their medical decisions private, but it could come at the cost of his or her family who didn't want her to have the abortion suing the Uber driver. To many pro-choicers, this validates their fears of Roe v. Wade being overturned. The pro-lifers, this is a celebratory situation, a celebratory mode. Pop the champagne bottles, as it's a step closer to Roe v. Wade being overturned. Interesting, isn't it? One outcome of the Supreme Court ruling, two polar opposite reactions and desires in the outcome for Roe v. Wade. Now, for many pro-choicers, I've heard many comparisons of Nazi Germany from the media. There's been comparisons on social media I've seen with pro-lifers, Republicans, just any pro-lifers in general, to the Taliban. Many abortion advocates will use our broken foster care, adoption, and other circumstances to justify the need for abortion. And there's even pro-lifers who are uncomfortable with this law, as it doesn't make an exception for cases of rape and incest. Common ground, if you will, for the pro-lifers and the pro-choicers. There's also this conception that the modern-day abortion procedure is less barbaric than the days before Roe v. Wade. And they're concerned that women won't have that access to that safe abortion clinic in order to maybe preserve the life they already have, per se. All of this because Texas, the heartbeat bill became law. Now, this is a subject that will have either side dropping bombs on one another. And the last thing I'm going to do is add gasoline to the flames. At the same time, I am not going to hesitate to defend life. That's where I stand on this issue. As a matter of fact, I am for abolishing abortion altogether let Roe versus Wade be overturned. That's an opinion that many do not share, even within the pro-life circle. The activists will be on the same page as me, but we are not the majority. And no, I don't consider myself an activist. I have donated to organizations like Life Action to combat the abortion industry. But I have never been to a pro-life rally. I'd like to, but my life has been busy with work. As a result, I haven't been able to. And I have never saw myself as a protester either, for that matter. With that in mind, I will say activists could change their tone a little bit. Maybe have more grace in our conversation. Perhaps speak more about the foster care, adoption, and healthcare system. Again, that is what many pro-choicers will use as a defense to have the abortion procedure. To all those concerns, if we were to abolish abortion altogether, I will say this. You ready? Remember, in order to think, we have to risk being offensive. So if I offend you, my free speech triumphs your safe space in this situation. To say it's none of my business about whether or not you have an abortion, what your doctor consults with you, is actually accurate. That's right. I know there's going to be pro-lifers that are going to be pissed off at that. You heard me correctly. It is none of my business. But that's all I'm going to say about that because my argument has nothing to do with HIPAA. And perhaps Texas could relook at the suing clause because it's not fair for those people who may not be aware of the woman's intent of having an abortion to be punished. All because the woman withheld that information, practicing her right to keep that private through HIPAA. Good intentions, but let's close some of those loopholes. My argument, and many pro-lifers, is centered whether or not that practice should be legal in healthcare at all. There is no such thing as a safe abortion. There is nothing natural about the forceful termination of a pregnancy. It's why many women experience emotional, mental, and physical trauma. Women who go through with the abortion procedure are 130% more likely to commit suicide. Physically, it affects their ability to bear children later on if they desire as well. At least that's the case with many of those women. And for the unborn child, it tears apart their limbs, crushes their skull, despite being able to feel pain. Around 6 weeks, while there's anecdotes, is roughly the time the woman realizes she may be pregnant. And that's when the baby has a heartbeat and a central nervous system to detect pain. Explain to me how that is safe, and I use that in air quotes. Secondly, it is my honest belief that in order to address those other social issues, until abortion is banned, will never be forced to address those matters. From my perspective, because abortion is more affordable, it's allowed the elite class, if you will, to neglect those other systems. Why fix those other issues when we have a much more convenient option for women to use? Yet, if you take that away, now they're forced to address those problems and the rest of the population as well. Because there's not many people out here talking about the foster care system, the adoption system. Again, it makes more financial sense for a woman to have the abortion procedure than it is to have the child. Having a kid could be expensive. But we'll never address it unless we take that option away. In healthcare, for example, the debate is always about who will pay the bill, but never about how to bring the cost down. And I'll reiterate, it's expensive to have a kid. It can be very expensive. I don't blame people for using their options to have that procedure. It doesn't mean it's right, though. It would also force us to have the conversation of what kind of doctors and healthcare workers we want to have. What kind of healthcare worker, especially a doctor, would recommend you must kill a human life to preserve another human life? The role of healthcare is to preserve all life. All life. Even in dire circumstances. Such as, say, someone who was raped at the age of 12. Yeah, that's right. You may scratch your head and wonder why I would even say that. But let me go back to my earlier point. While it is dangerous for a child that young to conceive, the procedure of abortion is still barbaric. If we truly care about for those people in those dire circumstances, then the conversation should be, how can we protect both lives? Which brings my other point. For situations of rape and incest, or they grew up in a rough family, they just come from a rough background. Let's say they do come from a foster care system, like Simone Biles, right? How can I look at someone who was born as a result of those things or came from that rough background that their life was worth taking away? How can I say, yes, your life is less worthy of giving the chance for life? Our society has forgotten this part, this aspect about being alive on this earth. Suffering is just a part of life. I also didn't grow up in the most stable home, but to this day, if it ever came across my mother's mind, I would want someone to speak on my behalf, even if it meant getting the government involved. I wouldn't change for anything. And let's say, right, let's say that person came from a rough background, or that mother is a lower income individual, right? At risk to being homeless, perhaps, or maybe she is homeless, right? Do you have a crystal ball that will determine whether or not that woman's going to stay in that situation, the child's going to grow up miserable for the rest of their life? Do you have that crystal ball? I don't have a crystal ball. And what about women who are in a more privileged situation, right? Do you have a crystal ball that their life are not going to be full of trouble, full of suffering? Is it going to be full of suffering because they're more privileged? Do you have that crystal ball for me? We don't. We don't have a crystal ball. It's impossible to predict the future, what's going to happen. And to use that as an excuse why we should have that practice in healthcare is not a valid one from my perspective. And then to go back to the whole rape and incest situation, or just an act of, or the child existing, or the mother being pregnant as a result of an act of violence with an, you can't fix an act of violence with another act of violence. Two wrongs don't make a right. It'll just lead to more trauma. In the end, there is no room for this barbaric procedure to exist in healthcare. The unborn can't speak for themselves. Any one of us could have been that unborn child with the mother considering that option. Therefore, it's gone beyond the scope of just a woman's right manner. It's now a human rights issue. Just the right to exist. Abolish abortion, but also, should you have the right to exist? If you don't have the right to exist, then what rights do you really have? If you don't have any rights from the time you're inside that mother's womb, then what rights do you really have as an adult? I'm glad the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Texas. My hope in my lifetime is that abortion will be abolished altogether. I'll end with this. Abolishing abortion also protects people like me. Yes. When I was younger, I opened up to the idea of abortion after having unprotected sex. And there's plenty of people who have abortions as a result of that as well. As a matter of fact, that's the majority of abortions. It's a matter of, I can't afford to have a child. It's more monetary than anything. Or they're just not mentally prepared, if you will. Situations of rape, for example, I think they only make up 1% of the abortion procedures as the reason to have the abortion, should say. But at that time in my life, I had lower self-esteem. So when my ex-girlfriend got upset with me because we had that unprotected sex, and also she knew my beliefs about abortion, she convinced me, and it's still my fault for opening up, but I opened up to the idea of abortion just to make her happy. She was happy, but it destroyed my soul. I felt I sold my soul to the devil. To this day, I'm haunted by that fact that I opened up to the idea of killing my own child because I was weak. Because she, air quote, wasn't ready. And maybe, and I think, now thinking about it, I wasn't ready either. I wasn't ready, but why should I have the right to lead my significant other to that path? Why? Why should I have that right? It still haunts me. Abolishing abortion protects people like me who hit that panic button. It wouldn't even be a discussion if it wasn't a legal practice. I choose to use that energy of regret now to make sure the unborn have the right to exist. The right to have a breath of fresh air, like the rest of us already on this earth. Again, it's easy for us to talk about rights and whether or not a child, unborn child should come on earth or not when we're already breathing here. We have the ability to speak, but they can't. They can't speak for themselves. If we don't speak on their behalf, who will? And again, this also protects the woman in the end. I really hope one day in my lifetime, Roe v. Wade gets overturned. It should have never been considered a constitutional right to begin with. And that's where I stand. The Supreme Court made the right decision, and I hope within the next several years, we may see Roe versus Wade overturned. I doubt it'll happen. I don't think it'll happen, but I hope. I really do. That said, we'll be back after this short break.
Source reporting that there was an explosion and some people were killed. I know through my inside channels that one of those people that were killed was someone that I have a personal relationship with. We won't go into more details because the families are still being notified. Not making this video because it's potentially an emotional time. Making it because I have a growing discontent and contempt for my perceived ineptitude at the foreign policy level, and I want to specifically ask some questions to some of my senior leaders. And I'll say, as a person that's not at 20 years, I feel like I have a lot to lose. If you play chess, you can only see 2 to 3 moves out because there's too many variables. I thought through if I post this video, what might happen to me, especially if the video picks up traction, if I have the courage to post it. But I think what you believe in can only be defined by what you're willing to risk. So if I'm willing to risk my current battalion commander seat, my retirement, my family stability, to say some of the things that I want to say, I think it gives me some moral high ground to demand the same honesty, integrity, accountability from my senior leaders. And so I want to start with, we'll just use the Marine Corps. We'll just stick with the Marine Corps. So in the current fallout of Afghanistan, a lot of Marines were posting on social media, and in response to that, the Commandant published a letter, which is the service chief of the Marine Corps. And I want to read from it. It was dated 18 August, so only a week ago. The Commandant, sir, you wrote, "Some of you may be struggling with the simple question, was it all worth it? We want you to know that your service is meaningful, powerful, and important. You fought for the Marine to your left and the Marine to your right. You never let them down." Then you go on to say that, you know, if we're struggling, we should seek counseling, which, you know, I get it. People have killed people. I've killed people, and I seek counseling, and that's fine. There's a time and place for that. But the reason people are so upset on social media right now is not because the Marine on the battlefield let someone down. That service member has always rose to the occasion, done extraordinary things. People are upset because their senior leaders let them down, and none of them are raising their hands and accepting accountability or saying, we messed this up. If an 05 battalion commander has the simplest live fire incident, EO complaint, boom, fired. But we have a Secretary of Defense that testified to Congress in May that the Afghan National Security Force could withstand the Taliban advance. We have chairmen of Joint Chief, who the Commandant is a member of that, who's supposed to advise on military policy. We have a Marine combatant commander. All of these people are supposed to advise. And I'm not saying we've got to be in Afghanistan forever, but I am saying, did any of you throw your rank on the table and say, hey, it's a bad idea to evacuate Bagram Airfield, the strategic air base, before we evacuate everyone? Did anyone do that? And when you didn't think to do that, did anyone raise their hand and say, we completely messed this up? I've got battalion commander friends right now that are posting similar things, and they're saying, you know, wondering if all the lives were lost and if it was in vain, all those people that we've lost over the last, you know, 20 years. And he goes on to say that we're all part of a chain. While every link may not be tested, the strength of the chain is only as strong as each link, and you got to be, you know, good link, something like that. And what I'll say is, and from my position, potentially all those people did die in vain if we don't have senior leaders that own up and raise their hand and say, we did not do this well in the end. Without that, we just keep repeating the same mistakes, this amalgamation of the economic slash corporate slash political slash higher military ranks are not holding up their end of the bargain. I want to say this very strongly. I have been fighting for 17 years. I am willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability.
Welcome back to Taboo Topic. Your host, Ken Drew, is here ready to serve you. That last clip you just heard was a Marine. Marine Officer Stuart Scheller. I hope I pronounced it right. I think I pronounced it right. Calling out the leaders in D.C. for the Afghanistan catastrophe. Excuse me. Can't speak all of a sudden. As we know, 13 service members died this week because of a suicide bombing by the Taliban. Let's be clear, this was all preventable. Despite being attacked, we are still here, leaving to wonder who's going to take accountability. The officer is pretty much speaking our mind. He is wondering in that clip, who will raise their hand up and say, I messed up. I messed up. We could have prevented this. Let's discuss how we can learn from this moving forward so we don't make ourselves a fool again. And to his defense, the officer, nobody in Capitol Hill doesn't seem to be interested in having that conversation. Instead, our military seems to be more interested in white supremacy, transgender issues, or just being more inclusive, right? In layman's term, wokeness. The military has gone woke. In leadership, didn't like that. So the chances of him being court-martialed are pretty high. Legally speaking, per UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, he wasn't in a position to question his leadership. Technically. That can get you into a lot of trouble. He did put in his resignation, but that begs the question. I can't talk all of a sudden. But that begs the question. Was this the right thing to do? Yes. It was. Legally, no. But morally, yes. The chances of him winning in this situation are slim to none. Especially with the current leadership. That's just the reality. But as service members, when do we draw the line of keeping our mouth shut because we're legally liable per UCMJ? We're not supposed to question our leadership or call them out, especially publicly. But when do we say and call them out when they're clearly in the wrong morally? He was right. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody has demanded accountability of the service members who died. Nobody admitted how humiliating this was for our nation internationally. They're just playing the blame game when it was all on them. It was all on them. They had all the power to put their ranks on the line and demand to stop this embarrassment from happening. And how out of touch are you to think the reason why service members who were there are asking the question, was it worth it? Because of us. Because we somehow let each other down or the people of Afghanistan down. No, we're asking the question because of you. You are the reason why our veterans past and present who partook in the war on terror in Afghanistan are asking that question. It's like you don't give a damn. Tone deaf. This man, all right, this man has more courage in one pinky than all of you imbeciles combined in Washington right now. You know, there's this thing in the military of disobeying lawful orders. But if you abide by an unlawful order, you can be held responsible for your mistakes still. You can still be court-martialed. The "I was ordered to" isn't a legitimate excuse. Let's use our critical thinking skills here for a moment, guys. Can we say our leadership has been committing acts of unlawful orders? Perhaps acts of treason? Can we say, for example, the orders of leaving hundreds of Americans behind a lawful order? You know, I kind of wonder if I was still there, if I was put in that position, whether or not I would actually abide by that and I wouldn't do everything in my unit's power to get all those hundreds of Americans left behind before listening to whatever the people of Capitol Hill say. I would also be putting my rank on the line, and perhaps I would be court-martialed because technically speaking, they gave me an order, but is it a lawful order? We are called when you swear in to that oath. We're swore to protect the people of the United States and the Constitution first. We don't serve our leaders. We serve the Constitution. We serve the American people. They wanted us to abandon our American people and listen to them instead. Do you think that's a lawful order? That is not a lawful order. Come bite me in the ass if I'm wrong. Where are the real leaders in that situation and say, fuck that. We're not going anywhere until we get all these Americans out. We're not going anywhere until we get all these service dogs out. And yes, they still left American dogs over there. DOD contractors got their dogs out, but there's still American canine left behind, contrary to fact checkers, what they say. Where were the leaders saying we're not doing any of that until we get all of them out? We're not leaving anyone behind. We're not leaving them behind because you want to save yourself any more of an embarrassment, any more embarrassment, which quite frankly, it's not even embarrassing anymore. It's just freaking treason at this point. The ones in leadership not only should be fired or resign, either one of those two, regardless if they get fired or resigning, or they resign, they ought to be court-martialed and held to the highest level of accountability that the law has to offer in the UCMJ. That was an unlawful order. Everything they have done has been a catastrophe. It's costed lives, literally, at this point. I understand it won't happen under this administration. It won't happen. No one wants to take any responsibility for anything. Hell, Biden blamed Americans, hundreds of Americans, and somehow believes that we're supposed to believe him when he says that they chose to stay there. Well, we literally saw clip after clip after clip of Afghanis just desperately trying to cling on for life to our cargo C-17 planes because they knew what the Taliban were going to do to them once we left. You expect us to believe that, right? But that's a reflection to illustrate how corrupt our leadership is and how weak it is. We need more men like that Marine officer right there. Stuart, if you're listening to me right now, I applaud you and you have my support. And I'm going to encourage all my audience, all my listeners right now to pray for him in this situation. Because we need more men like him to take a stand in that position in particular. The lack of men using their aggression to stand for what's right is killing our nation. Right now, we have an administration being run by children, not interested in taking any accountability. Shame on them. Shame on them. It blows my mind that he could get in trouble for speaking the truth and basically calling out their immorality, and that they'll have a job still, and not only will he get court-martialed, but there's a potential he may see jail time. I could be wrong, don't hold me to that, but he could see jail time. That's just the reality of the situation. It's so backwards. It's like they're swimming in their own piss. And they're laughing at the person who's not swimming in their piss. I'm like, dude, it's disgusting. What position are you in to actually hold that moral high ground at this point? I digress. Anyways, we'll be back for this short break to close things out. Hey, welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. Hey, before we go any further, I want to remind everyone, you can leave a review no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast from. Hopefully it's a 5-star, but if it's below a 5-star, by all means, leave a review and let me know how I could better improve the show to better serve you. With that said, let's get into this last segment, the last story, if you will. Cam Newton being released by the New England Patriots. The Patriots decided to go ahead with Mac Jones as the future. I mean, he was going to be the future anyway, but the question was whether or not when he was going to start, and I guess he's going to start in the beginning of the regular season. Apparently, he's had a really great preseason. He's had a really good debut. Cam Newton, I only heard about the first game, and I heard he did really well in the first game, but after that, he didn't do so, or I just haven't heard anything, but the quarterback competition heated up, apparently. Now, I have a soft spot for Cam Newton. By the way, if you're not interested in sports, now you can skip over this part, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Hope to see you next week. I will be back on Sunday for the Straight Talk Jesus segment. But anyways, back to the story. So I have a soft spot for Cam Newton. Cam Newton, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, so I got to experience Cam Newton for 10 years, at least the first 10 years of his career, playing in Carolina. I got to experience him taking us to the Super Bowl in 2015. I was ecstatic because I thought we finally found a quarterback, especially after the Super Bowl. He had that MVP season, and frankly, I was impressed with him when he first came out of college. He was fantastic throwing the ball. He was a lot more accurate than I thought he would be. Even though he ran a lot, but he also threw a lot as well. And he threw for 4,000 yards that season. No quarterback had ever done that in Carolina history, or at least at that time. No quarterback had gotten to that point in over 10 years. Because I think we had one other quarterback that had a 4,000-yard season. Regardless, I was impressed. And I was really happy that I thought we finally found a quarterback. And eventually, he led us to the Super Bowl and he had that MVP season. But ever since then, he hasn't really done much. He's gotten hurt almost every other year, it seems like. Last year, he ran the ball pretty well, but he didn't really pass a whole lot either. I think he even has more rushing touchdowns than he did passing touchdowns last year. I was kind of surprised when the Patriots re-signed him. But then they drafted Mac Jones, and I thought, well, shoot. If Cam Newton stays on the team, if anything, Mac Jones has a someone to look up to for 1 year, at least before he starts. I didn't think the Patriots were in a rush to start him. If Cam Newton was going to suck at all at any point this year, or maybe he didn't do so well within the first few weeks, and maybe they would put in Mac Jones and have Cam Newton as a backup. That said, maybe that's part of the reason why they released him, because they knew that Cam Newton was not a quarterback or was not someone that was going to want to take a backseat. He's a real competitor out there, and he wants to be on the field at all times. He wants to start. He wants to help his team, lead his team. He looks up to MJ, so he kind of views himself as an MJ. I remember there were years where even the Panthers website would compare Cam Newton's drive to MJ. However, he's not an MJ. And I will admit that he has been in decline since 2015. And frankly, I think he never recovered from that Super Bowl loss. I don't know what happened in that game, but something happened to him mentally to where he just could not function anymore. And he seemed to have lost the passion or the love of the game after that. And it kind of happens with his injuries, being a running quarterback. It happens a lot with those kind of quarterbacks where their first instinct is to run first. And many people would try to tell him, like, hey, man, maybe you should try to focus on being a pocket passer more instead of just running around all the time, taking all these hits. But Cam was basically saying, yep, I gotta be me, man. I gotta do Cam. If I want to run, I'm going to run. That's part of my game. And you know, more power to him. But it came with the price of injuries. And a lot of these quarterbacks, their shelf life, if you will, is shortened as a result of it. And unfortunately, Cam Newton was no exception. Cam Newton, while there was promise and many people thought like, oh, this is the guy, this is the quarterback that will change how the quarterback position plays, he proved to be another statistic of a running quarterback. Running quarterbacks in the NFL don't last. Let's just be straight. Running quarterbacks don't last, and Cam Newton was no exception. That's why with Lamar Jackson in particular, I'm still not completely sold on him. And I think this is a make or break year for him. Because with Lamar Jackson, he's got to prove that he's not just another running quarterback. He's got to show that he's matured and is able to be a pocket passer when he needed to. That if all those lanes were suddenly closed up, they can stand in the pocket and take a hit. Or if he did run, slide at the very least, you know? Slide, but I don't know, at the same time, if Mac Jones is ready for the spotlight. Now, I know he was part of the greatest dynasty of college football modern history right now, Alabama. And he was a better quarterback than Alabama has had in probably decades. There's only one other quarterback that I think made it to the first round, and even he didn't do so hot, but there was a lot of promise for Mac Jones, you know? There was a lot of promise. I'm not going to deny that. And if it turns out one of those things where he was truly a sleeper pick, and the Patriots just happened to notice him to make sure not to let him go from becoming a six-round pick like Tom Brady, like the ultimate sleeper pick of all time, then I'm going to be pissed off because Carolina passed him up, damn it. We had a chance. But it's the preseason. That's what I don't understand. It's the preseason. And I understand the preseason is the time to realize and find out your competitions for those certain positions that are up for grabs. But I didn't think they were in a rush to put Mac Jones in. At least not from my perspective anyway. If you're a Patriots fan, as a matter of fact, what do you think? Let me know through the social media platforms I mentioned earlier, Facebook, Instagram, or even the Substack newsletters at kendra296.substack.com. But what do you think? Do you think he's the new Tom Brady for the Patriots? Do you think this is Coach Belichick's chance to prove to everyone he's the greatest coach of all time and that he does not need Tom Brady on his team? What do you think? I don't know. I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm very interested to see how the Patriots play. I do think they're a better team this year than they were last year. I do think that. I even said in the last week in review edition that I think they're a sleeper team. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs this year. I think, as a matter of fact, they have a better chance of making the playoffs over the Dolphins. And I only say that because the Dolphins, every time people predict they're going to go to the playoffs, they always seem to find a way to let people down. I'm just being honest. And I say that coming from a family full of Dolphin fans. So I like the Dolphins too. I have to cheer for them, right? It's one of those situations. But every time we've had high predictions for them, or higher expectations, they've always never lived them up to. And there's still questions about Miami's quarterback, Tua. I'm very interested to see if they actually have that much trust in him as the future quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Actually, I take it back what I said earlier. Tua is also from Alabama, and he was also a first-round pick. I take that back, as a matter of fact. Does he have the capacity to be an NFL starter long term. His thing was he got hurt a lot. He was injury prone. So I asked the question, if he's not the answer, if he doesn't do that well this year, if he doesn't have the capability of leading his team to victories and being the bus, right? Instead of just a little bug on the road. Because a bus versus a bug, the bus is going to overrun that bug every single time. And if he can show that he's that bus that can lead his team and make a difference in the team from winning and losing, like Tom Brady, for example. I understand he's younger than Tom Brady, and he's still got a long way to go, but if he can show any hint of that, enough to where he can at least lead them to the playoffs, then, yeah, I think the Dolphins will take that spot over the Patriots. However, I'm not entirely convinced yet. So I think the Patriots have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Dolphins, but I want to see. It all comes back to the question of the quarterback from those two teams. The Bills have their answer, obviously, but who will actually outshine? Which Alabama quarterback will outshine this year? Will it be the second-year vet, Tua, from Miami, or will it be the first-year, the rookie, Mac Jones from New England? I'd be very interested to see how that's all going to play out. As far as Cam Newton, man, I really hope you find a new team, man. I hope you find a team as well that has an offensive line at the very least. Because I think if he's given an offensive line, I still think he has the capability of being an elite quarterback, or at least a starting quarterback for the NFL. I've read some articles about teams that could use him for like running situations, like a college option-like system. But I think that's diminishing his ability as a passer. I understand he's not the greatest passer, he's not the most accurate passer. At the same time, he hasn't had a history of having a good offensive line of him given that time to actually look at his options and just make accurate throws as a result. And before he got hurt, actually, in 2018, his completion percentage was up in the 65 or 64% range. That was like the all-time career high before he got hurt. So I know he's got that capability. I know you have the capability, Cam. I wish nothing but the best for you, man. And with that said, we'll be back after a short break to actually close things out. We'll be back. Thank you. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I'm your host, Ken Drew. Thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your support. Remember, you can leave a review no matter what platform you listen to this podcast from. You can listen to this podcast from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Leave a review. Hopefully it's a 5-star, but if it's anything less than a 5-star, by all means, let me know through the social media platforms and also through the platforms you listen to podcasts from so I can better serve you. With that said, everyone, thank you for your cooperation. thank God it's Friday, and until Sunday, have a great rest of your Friday, and God bless you.